Well, this morning, I want to begin this message with a little story that I gathered this week that I think sets up my message. It's about a three-year-old girl who asked her mother, "Mommy, what is Christmas?" That's an interesting question that parents might be asked. And how would you explain that if a little three-year-old grandchild or child asked you that question? Well, the mother said that it's Jesus' birthday, and we recognize that it's his birthday. And then the little girl said, "But Mommy, why do we give each other gifts? Why don't we give Jesus gifts if it's his birthday and not ours?" And so the mother explained that the tradition of exchanging and receiving gifts is an act of love, an expression of love that we show toward one another. And so the conversation ended for a while, and until Christmas Eve, when a sleepy little girl placed a package underneath the Christmas tree on her way to bed and explained to the mother that this gift is for Jesus, Mommy, and I'm praying that during the night he will open my gift, my special gift to him. And after she was asleep, the mother, not wanting to disappoint her little daughter, opened the clumsily wrapped gift. It was kind of put together as a three-year-old would do, and the mother discovered that the box was empty. So on Christmas morning, the little girl was so thrilled that her gift to Jesus was opened and it was empty. But the mother was a little confused. She said, "Honey, what was in the box?" And the little girl responded, "It was a box full of love." You know, out of the mouths of babes, right? Children say, wasn't that a show, children say the darndest things? I think it was first Art Linkletter, and then it was Bill Cosby, and kids will say the darndest things. I remember in church one time when I was in Sayville, I had the kids up front doing a children's sermon. I said, "Anybody want to share anything?" And there were three sisters, and she said, "Yeah, Mommy and Daddy didn't want to come to church today." Well, they sunk in their pew, and we made them bring us to church today. I said, "Boy, you never know what's going to come out of their mouths." And so this morning on our second Sunday of Advent, Penny lit not one but two candles. The second candle represents, anybody remember what the first candle represented? Hope. Good students. Today it's the candle of love. And it's a special, we all need love, don't we? I mean, I think that's what keeps us going. So as we continue on our journey toward Bethlehem, and even my messages next week and the following week will follow up with this theme of the Advent wreath, so you'll be able to watch it from home. But I encouraged you last week, if you might remember, if you were here, that gaze upon the babe in the manger as those first shepherds did, in awe and wonder, to actually see that the Savior was born. So as we gaze on the babe in the manger, we see it for what it is, that Jesus is the greatest gift that you could ever receive, the gift of love, unconditional, sacrificial love. There's no greater gift that you could ever receive. And you know, I firmly believe that the best gift that you and I could ever give someone else cannot be purchased on Amazon. Has anybody been going a little crazy on Amazon? Okay, you come up, we'll forgive you. But then you're going to have to turn around and forgive me. I just threw out four boxes this morning. But you can't buy this gift on Amazon. You can't go to the mall. You can't go to the local shops. And by the way, I encourage you to go downtown and shop locally, please. Our merchants are really struggling. Even the restaurants, some of them are doing takeout, and you know, let's just try to help them as best as we can. But the gift, the greatest gift that you could ever give somebody else is not the gift of that you buy through Amazon. It's the gift of love. There's that little girl who opened the gift. I forget sometimes to crank this up. So anyway, I must confess that there are times when my wish, and I don't want to embarrass my wife, I wish that the gift of love that I would receive one Christmas would be a puppy. Hint, hint. I promise you that if I had received that gift in a box, my tail would start wagging. However, she's given me the greatest gift that I could ever receive. My wife has given me the gift of unconditional love that I have received over the last 50-some-odd years that we have been together. Now think back for a moment, church. Can you remember what was the greatest gift that you ever received on Christmas? I bet behind that gift was a whole lot of love. A whole lot of love. You know, my brother posted a picture. My brother's going to kill me. So he watches these services online. Sorry. That's a picture of my sister-in-law. He not only got our one puppy, he got a two. You know, he's always got to do more. You know, my brother can't just do a little. He's got to do a lot. I'm surprised she doesn't have three puppies in her arms. But you could see the joy on her face. Mind you, they recently lost a dog that they had for 14 years. And they had decided, due to age and whatever, they decided, you know what, I don't think I'm going to get another dog. Well, guess what? There are the gifts that my brother gave to his wife. And what he wrote, part of what he wrote on Facebook, he said, "Merry Christmas to my first love. May you ever enjoy them as much as you did Shane," which was the other dog's name. Now, mind you, my brother and his wife have been married close to 60 years. And he's, you know, they still surprise one another with love behind the gift. However, I could tell you, for the last week, they've been up all night with these puppies. But they will become adult dogs, and I'm sure that will subside. But I thought to myself, my sister-in-law knows everything that's going on. She is like an embedded reporter. How he kept that a secret, my brother is a genius. How he popped this surprise on her, I don't know how he did it, but I know that his mission was driven by the love that he has for his wife. Love indeed is a special gift, isn't it? And so, have you ever given a gift that meant more to you than perhaps the person who received it? That you just welled up with joy, just seeing the expression on their face. I love watching kids at Christmas because they just glow when they open their gifts. You know, there was so much love of yourself invested in that gift that the response that you got was even greater of appreciation than perhaps the person who opened it. And I think the greatest gift is the gift of giving. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Now, that is what the gift of Jesus is like. A gift straight from God, a gift filled to the brim with love for you and for me. A gift that had so much God invested in it. Think about this, that it was God. God incarnate, right? We know that God came down on that first Christmas in the person of a babe in the manger, Jesus. Born of a virgin, therefore, Jesus is both man and God. I know it's hard, it's really difficult to get our heads around that, but God gave himself on that first Christmas day. It was like God took all of his love and he put it in a box and he placed it under your tree and under my tree. The gift of Jesus. The gift was his only son, a gift that we know he loved deeply. Do you remember the words that he spoke over his son? He says, "This is my son whom I love and in whom I am well pleased." So when he gave his son to us, he gave his very best to us. That was the best gift that God has ever bestowed upon humanity. He gave his best on that night in Bethlehem. Now, I found an interesting story I'd like to share with you. It's a story that really makes some kind of connection with even the COVID-19 vaccine that's on the way. Folks, we got to pray that that vaccine gets here as soon as possible. And you know, I'm not one to promote or push anything, but I'll tell you, I hope all of us take that vaccine, because the quicker we could be immune from it, the less we're going to spread this disease. Can you imagine once again where your life is normal and you're doing things that you couldn't do before? And I'm excited about that. And I believe it's coming. And I believe this new year is going to bring that gift to us. But back before there were vaccines for deadly diseases, one of the best weapons that doctors had to combat a disease was the blood from a close relative who had survived that disease, because that individual would have the antibodies to go into the system of the person who's suffering and attack those viral areas of a person's body and therefore help that relative build their natural antibodies to eliminate the disease that's in their system. Well, from back in the days comes a story of a very sick little girl. And this story really touched me. The doctor looked down on this little girl in a hospital, and he knew she was not strong enough to survive. She couldn't fight this disease on her own. She was too weak. Her immune system was compromised. Her only hope was to receive blood from a relative of hers who had recovered from the disease that she was struggling with. And it just so happened she had a brother that was a little older than her who had recovered from the same disease and who was a matching donor. And so the doctor found the anxious family, and he knelt down beside this little boy and he said to him, "Johnny, your sister needs your kind of blood to make her well. Would you be willing to give your blood so that she can live?" Well, Johnny's eyes grew huge. The doctor watched him because he recoiled a little bit in fear. But the little boy hesitated only long enough to swallow this lump in his throat. And he said, "Sure, doctor, I will do it." After the needed amount of blood was taken from Johnny's small body, he remained quiet for a few minutes as instructed by the nurse. And then he stood up and he asked the doctor this question. He says, "Doctor, when will I die?" He thought he was actually giving up his blood, his own life, to save his sister. What a sacrifice. That he had no clue that he was just giving blood. He wasn't giving his life. "When will I die?" Only then did the doctor realize the extent of this child's sacrifice. Johnny had offered his life for his sister. Powerful. And that's the kind of gift that awaits us in Bethlehem. A gift of sacrifice. A gift of perfect, unselfish, all-giving, unconditional love in the Christ child. God loves us so much, he wants to give us the greatest gift he could ever possibly give, the gift of salvation and the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life through his only Son. And so, friends, as we journey toward Bethlehem, that's what awaits us. And let's not forget that as we go through this holiday season, as difficult as it is, remember what they proclaimed. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Receive him anew. Receive him anew. Each and every day during this Advent season, every morning, if you remember, just say, Lord, I receive you anew, this gift that you give me. I receive it joyfully and willfully. Come and live and reign in my life. Make a difference in my life so I can make a difference in others. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.